me relate how I came to be giving this particular sermon today. Some of you will remember a series of sermons that I used to do that came to be known as the Mayberry Sermons. And when the Kellys first came to our area, someone told Mr. Kelly about the Mayberry Sermons that I've done. And Mr. Kelly mentioned them to me. He said, I'd like to hear one of these days. Yeah. He encouraged me to do one. Well, the Kellys have been here almost 4 years now, and I had not given another Mayberry sermon while he's been here. But for whatever reason, a couple of weeks before Passover, I was at work, and I wrote myself a note to remind me to do something. And the note read, do a Mayberry sermon after the Holy Days. Now, it's after the Holy Days, but something else happened in the meantime. As I started to prepare a new Mayberry sermon, I pulled out the notes from my previous sermons to see exactly what I did in those sermons so that I wouldn't repeat myself too much in the new sermon. And I looked at the dates of those sermons. And some of you will be surprised to hear that I've only given 3 Mayberry sermons altogether. It seems like more because I've given them in North Carolina, South Carolina, and also Virginia. The first one that I gave was in 1999. Second one was 2001. And the third one was 2005. So it had been 6 years since I did a Mayberry sermon. 6 years. And I realized that about half the people with us today weren't around when I gave those Mayberry sermons. And the half of you that were around would probably only remember about half of you would only probably remember those sermons to begin with, and then half of that would only remember a small percentage of those Mayberry sermons. And I also realized that not everyone is an Andy Griffith Show fan. I know that's hard for some of you to believe, but there are such people out there. And they are attending congregations in Cogwood just like this. They try to keep it a secret, but they're out there. And I realize that. And I also realize some have not heard or seen the show in years, and so won't remember any of the episodes. And others may have not seen the show at all, and so wouldn't know any of the characters in the Andy Griffith Show. So I mentioned to Mr. Kelly that before I do a new Mayberry sermon, that perhaps it would be better if I did an old Mayberry sermon to refresh everyone's memories of what they're like, and also to give the new people who've never heard a Mayberry sermon an idea of what they are like. And if this sermon goes well, I'll do a new one. But if a lot of you really aren't interested in my doing another Mayberry sermon, I won't do another one. So, just let me know later, you know, yay or nay, yes or no, thumbs up, thumbs down. You don't have to go into a big explanation. You know, if you don't want another one, you won't hurt my feelings. All right? And if you don't want to tell me direct, just get someone else to tell me what you think without giving your name. All right? I'm serious. I did this in Hickory the other week, and only about half of them gave me any comments. So I'm the type of person thinking, well, the other half, they didn't give me any comments because they didn't want to tell me that they didn't like the Mayberry sermon. They don't want to hear it anymore. So if half of you don't give me any feedback, then I'll think the same thing. So how about we pay a short visit to Mayberry? And let's learn something about ourselves in the process. You know, pastors who have 2 or more congregations will tell you that each congregation has a personality all its own. People can be so different in different areas. And I have found this to be true over the years. And over the years, I've counted this up. Over the years, I've traveled to 13 different congregations and gave sermons. And each one is different than all the others. Sometimes it's amazing when you think about that. In case you're wondering, yes, the Asheville congregation has a personality all its own. Totally different than any other congregation that I visit. I'll let you think about that. Okay, how do I mean that? Now, it would be interesting to look at all the differences in all the various congregations, wouldn't it? But today I thought we'd look at another congregation, one that most of us have visited at one time or another down through the years, visited through our TV sets. We'll call this congregation the Congregation of Mayberry. And I chose this particular Mayberry sermon to redo, the Congregation of Mayberry, talking about the Congregation of Mayberry, because after all, we are a new congregation in Congra, aren't we? So I thought it would be appropriate to redo this one. And as we visit the congregation in Mayberry, we'll look at the various people with all their different personalities, with their different character traits. And we are going to look at both the good and the bad. And most of the characters of Mayberry had different traits. They had different facets of their personalities. They were interesting, even if they were good, or yes, when they were good, but also when they were bad. For instance, say we were going to talk about Otis Campbell. For those of you who know who Otis Campbell is, what comes to mind? Well, he was the town drunk, wasn't he? And you might be thinking, well, I don't drink, so what do I have in common with Otis Campbell? Well, yes, he was primarily known as the town drunk, but he had other traits. For instance, he was a good friend to Andy and Barney and just about everyone. And Otis was loyal as a friend. He was also honest, if you remember. But Barney used to ask him, where'd you get that moonshine, Otis? He wouldn't lie to Barney or Andy. He would just say, well, we town drunks have a code we live by, and I can't tell you. I can't break that code. He was very honest about it. But my favorite thing about Otis is that he always liked to give Barney a hard time. And I always enjoyed the two of them. A couple of weeks ago, I saw the episode where it was Citizen's Arrest. Probably my favorite episode. So Barney refused, I won't go into detail of it, but Barney refused to pay the fine and went into jail instead. And of course, Otis comes in later and finds out that Barney's in jail too, and he takes the tin cup, what he drinks with, and bangs on the cell and said, Barney, do you know what that means? I said, what? He says, there's going to be a breakout tonight. When he hits it again, he said, know what that means? What? Barney's in jail. Barney's in jail. So I always liked that about Otis, giving Barney a hard time. Barney was good at it. So you see, today we're going to look beneath the surface of the various characters or the personalities in Mayberry. We'll look at their positive traits, as we've mentioned, and we'll also look at their negative traits, because they had both. And we'll also relate some of the stories from the Andy Griffith Show to help demonstrate the various characteristics of the members of the Congregation of Mayberry. Now, the original title of this sermon was The Congregation of Mayberry. But I've changed it for this go-around. The new title is, Does This Describe Our Congregation? Does this describe our congregation? And as we go through the sermon, I think we'll see in many instances the answer is yes. Hopefully you'll have a smile on your face when you recognize either yourself or someone else in our congregation as being like one of the members of the Congregation of Mayberry. Of course, probably all of us would think, no, that doesn't describe me, it describes someone else here. Yeah. We'll see as we go through it. And I'll also be using the Andy Griffith Show book as we go through that to help us remember some of the episodes and give us some facts about the show and some facts about the characters in the Andy Griffith Show. And of course, our main source of information for the sermon will be our Bibles, as always. Let's not forget that. Of course, the most well-known member of the Congregation of Mayberry is Sheriff Andy Taylor. He's a man who is respected by all, isn't he? Everyone respects him, except for maybe a few moonshiners, but even some of them, like Ray Hollister, considered him a friend. And he had a lot of respect for Andy, too, as most people did. But that's the type of person Andy is. And during the sermon, I'll say is and not was, because, after all, they're all still with us, thanks to reruns. Aren't they? They're like old friends. Although I'll probably use not only the present tense, but the past tense while I go through this sermon. But you'll understand. But Andy tries to be a friend to just about everyone. Let's turn to Proverbs 18, verse 24. Proverbs 18, verse 24. Because I feel Andy is an excellent example of the scripture. In fact, I would say that in Mayberry, there is no better friend than Andy Taylor. And Barney agrees with me. Some of you may remember the episode where this magazine publisher is brought back to Mayberry to receive his fine. So to get back at Andy, he sends one of his reporters, a young lady, posing as a college student, to write a story to dig up the dirt about Andy. Of course, he talks to Barney, and you know how Barney, when a pretty young lady's there, he's going to start bragging about himself and making him feel better than Andy, and of course gets Andy in all types of trouble. And he's investigated by the state, and Barney's the main witness. But if you remember, he sat there and told everyone that this town doesn't have a better friend than Sheriff Taylor. And he's right. Proverbs 18, verse 24. A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And Andy fits both parts of this scripture. And he's the type of friend we'd like to have, isn't he? He's the type of friend we'd like to be, isn't he? As we look at Proverbs 18, verse 24, and we look at the example of Andy, we see ourselves here. And if our answer is no, then the next question for all of us to ask ourselves is, why not? We just read what the Bible says a friend should be. Are we not following what this scripture says? Let's look at the second part of it again. A friend who sticks closer than a brother. Let's remember, we are brethren. In other words, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. To be closer than our physical families, that's the type of friend we are to be. That's what the Bible tells us. And again, how about the first part of the scripture? He who has friends must himself be friendly, as the New King James says. Andy couldn't walk down the street without everyone saying hi to him. Or in the case of Gomer and Goober, saying, hey. And Andy always showed himself to be friendly to everyone, didn't he? Even the people he arrested. Have you ever noticed that? How friendly he was to the people he put in jail? Are we friendly to one another, brethren? How about this? Are we the type of friend we would like to have? Think of it this way. If we met someone first time, and it turns out the person doesn't look like us, but every other facet of that person's personality is exactly like ours, You met someone exactly like you. Would you become friends with that person who's exactly like you? Or would you say, phew, get a load of this guy. Yeah, I don't want to be around him or her. Because, of course, you don't realize he or she's exactly like you. Think of it that way. I think something to think about, isn't it? And we can let's all take a look at ourselves in our mirrors, spiritually or figuratively speaking. Let's take a good, hard, honest look at ourselves. Do we see the type of friend in ourselves that we and others would like to have? It'd be nice to be prepared, compared favorably to Sheriff Taylor in this area, wouldn't it? Now, our friend Andy has a lot of good points, no doubt about it. But he wasn't perfect, I think, as we all know. He had his faults. In other words, he's beginning to sound more like us, doesn't he? Because let's face it, Andy could be a bit vain at times. I know some of you ladies aren't going to believe this, but that's a trait we men can have at times. We can be vain. I know you don't believe that, ladies, but speaking as a man, I'm here to tell you, yes, it's true. We can be vain at times. Andy, on at least two occasions, there may have been others, but two of them jumped to mind, and we'll just look at one. On at least two different occasions, there were two different women being nice and friendly to Andy. You know, the way Andy is to everyone else. But Andy thought they were being nice and friendly to him because they had ulterior motives. And of course, their ulterior motive in being nice and friendly to Andy was matrimony. Matrimony to one Sheriff Andy Taylor. And one of them was the lady druggist, Ellie Walker. Remember that episode? I think he told Opie that she was a manhunter or something. Trying to get him to take her to the church picnic or a town picnic. Or what? I think it was the town picnic. And of course, Andy learned his lesson. And Ellie put him in his place. And still let him take her to the town picnic. But she had Opie also as a date. So the two of them took her. Now, Andy usually learned to see his faults. And he overcame them. Now, they would come back from time to time. But they never became a permanent fixture in his life. Sort of like Ernest T. Bass. You know, he would come back to Mayberry from time to time, but he was never a permanent fixture in Mayberry. The question for all of us to ask ourselves is, do we recognize our faults? And do we do anything about them? Or have they become a permanent fixture in our lives? Nice lesson from Mayberry for all of us to consider. Another member of the congregation of Mayberry that I'd like to look at is Ms. B. Taylor, better known as Aunt B. Let's turn to Titus 2, verse 3. Titus 2, verse 3. I think Aunt B is a good example of the scripture. Well, most of it, because, of course, she was never married. Titus 2, and let's read verses 3 through 5. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Have you ever noticed that most of the people who were younger than Aunt B called her Aunt B, even though they weren't related to her? That alone tells you the high opinion that those people had for Aunt B, or B. Taylor. And she loved Andy and Opie dearly, just as if they were their very own. She gave them a warm, loving home. And she was a great cook, too. One time Andy said that she should be called Miss Fried Chicken of Mayberry. She could make, bake, or cook just about anything, of course, except pickles. Some of you remember that episode. They were known as kerosene pickles. Did you notice what Andy and Opie and Barney did? They didn't want to hurt her feelings. And so at the end, they learned to eat those kerosene pickles just to save Aunt B's feelings. That's the high regard and the love they have for her. Start in Romans 12, verse 13. Romans 12, verse 13. Here's another scripture that could describe Aunt B, as well as Andy. In fact, since Aunt B raised Andy, she most likely taught Andy about this quality to have. Romans 12, verse 13. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. The Taylor household was known for its hospitality. Remember the episode where Gomer lost his job and his place to live at the filling station? Andy and Aunt B took him in. Remember a businessman, Malcolm Tucker? His car broke down on the way to Charlotte for an important business meeting on Sunday. Everything was closed. He couldn't get his car fixed. Well, the Taylors invited him to spend the night with them. That's where Opie was going to sleep on the ironing board between two chairs. And it was adventure sleeping, as he called it. Oh, I put it up here. We read from the Andy Griffith Show about that episode. The name of that episode was Man in a Hurry. And it has probably my favorite scene. And there are a lot of them, but I have to put this at the top. But let me tell you this about that episode. There is something called the Andy Griffith Show Rerun Watchers Club. Now, this book came out in 1995, I believe. And they had two polls, one in 1982. Three and one in 1994 of the top 20 episodes. Members of this club voted on their favorite episodes. And in each case, the number one favorite episode was Man in a Hurry. It was Malcolm Tucker. I don't know if you remember, he tried to, I forget who he was trying to call, but the two elderly sisters had the line all tied up, talking about people's feet falling asleep. But my favorite scene, I think, of any Andy Griffith show was Andy and Barney are on the front porch, Sunday afternoon, just relaxing. Malcolm Tucker's just walking back and forth, because he just needs to get to Charlotte for that meeting. And Barney starts telling Andy, well, I think I'll go home, take a nap, and go over to Thamaloo's. Watch a little TV. Yep. That's the plan. Go home. Take a nap. Go over to Thamaloo's. Watch some TV. Yeah, that's the plan. I think I'll... And then Malcolm Tucker goes, will you do it already? Go home. Take a nap. Go to Thamaloo's. Watch TV. Just do it. Malcolm Tucker didn't know how to relax. Now, of course, that was Sunday, and they had the wrong day, but have you ever known someone in the church over all these years who just did not know how to relax, to rest on the Sabbath? They always had their work on their minds on the Sabbath, always wanted to talk about their work on the Sabbath. And I'm not just talking about, well, how's your job going? Oh, it's pretty good, yeah, had a busy week, but no, I'm not talking about that. I've known people who say, well, how's your job going? The next 30 minutes, they want to tell you every item that they did all through the work week. And they don't understand, we're resting on the Sabbath. If you just bring up work on the Sabbath and how your work week went, you're just reliving everything. You don't know how to relax. That's what Malcolm Tucker reminded me of. Of course, at the end of the episode, he learned how to relax thanks to Andy, Barney, Gomer, and Aunt B and Opie. But as was Andy, the since we're talking about Aunt Bea also had her faults. And one fault she shared with her good friend, Clara Edwards. Like one little, I wasn't going to bring this out, but in the early shows, her name was Clara Johnson. Then she became Clara Edwards. Well, there's somewhere in the book that said maybe, I guess, on the little story about her, was that her married name was Johnson, but then she took her maiden name back years later, which I don't think so. I think the writers just either messed up or decided just to change it in midstream. But, of course, as popular as the show became, people noticed that and asked why, so they had to come up with a reason. But we're talking about Aunt Bea. One of her faults, and she shared it with Clara Johnson. Clara Edwards Johnson is the best friend of Bea Taylor. Their common interests include baking, gardening, sewing, and church work. They also love to gossip. That's likely or not over coffee in Bea's kitchen. Clara has always enjoyed a little sweet tea and spicy talk. Gossiping. Gossiping can be a major problem among all of us, not just Aunt Bea and Clara. Let's turn to 1 Timothy 5, verse 13. 1 Timothy 5, verse 13. For those of you who've seen the Andy Griffith Show down through the years, you probably realize that one time or another, most of the congregation of Mayberry had a problem with gossiping. Remember the episode where the shoe salesman came to town and somehow the men got in their minds that he was a talent scout from New York looking for talent. And so they all secretly auditioned for him while buying shoes from him. Helped him set a record. He was about to quit as a shoe salesman, but now he had his confidence back and set a record for the company. But thanks to the gossiping men of Mayberry, decided to stick with it as a salesman. And that episode just showed to prove, as it meant to, that men and women can be equally guilty of gossiping and equally guilty of being busybodies. 1 Timothy 5, verse 13. Besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Do we ever say things we ought not say? I think all of us could raise our hand on that one, couldn't we? You know, as I did this sermon, I started to wonder. Now, I'm giving a sermon on the congregation of Mayberry. Did their preacher in Mayberry give a sermon about our congregation here in Asheville? And go through some of the people in our congregations like we're doing with the people in Mayberry. Did they do that? Yeah. What are some of the things they would say about us in their sermon? Would we be happy for them to talk about us in that sermon? Or would we be thinking, uh-oh, I'd prefer not to be talked about. Let's look at another one of the congregation of Mayberry, but this is one of the lesser known members of the congregation. In fact, some of you may not even remember him, even if you are a longtime viewer, watcher of the Andy Griffith Show. You may not know who this person is. His name is Mr. Schwump. And he's listed in the Andy Griffith Show book. He's back in the index. There we go. Schwump, Mr. So, stagline regular, bench setter, in art class, lodge member, omnipresent. That's the description of Mr. Schwump. Did you catch that last word that described him? Omnipresent. He was always around. But yet, some of you who watch the Andy Griffith Show regularly don't really know who he is. You're probably thinking, who is Mr. Schwamp? But yet, that describes Mr. Schwamp. Because those of us who do know who Mr. Schwamp is, what do we really know about him? I've never heard him speak, because he never had a talking line in the show. And he was in Mayberry all those years, from the black and white episodes to the color episodes. You'll see Mr. Schwamp there. But we don't know how long he's lived in Mayberry. What kind of work does he do? Or is he retired? We don't know. Now we know he's not married because it said he's a stag line regular. And I believe in the episode where Ernest T. Bass throws the rock through Mrs. Wiley's window while she's having her singles get together. And Barney's trying to take fingerprints off the rock and everybody's handling it. And Mr. Schwamp, I believe, is one of those who's handling the rock. Next time you see the episode, see if you'll see Mr. Schwamp. One of the descriptions was bench setter. I believe it was either this week or last week. This week I called Judy and said, there's Mr. Schwamp. He was sitting on the bench with Andy. So we do know that Mr. Schwamp is single. But has he ever been married? Is he a widower? Divorced? Does he have any family? Again, we don't know. Does he have any hobbies? What kind of food does he like? What part of Mayberry does he live in? Again, we don't know. We don't even know what his first name is. It's always Mr. Schwamp. So even though we've known Mr. Schwamp for years, we really don't know him. Have we ever known anyone like that in any of the congregations that we've attended down through the years? Someone that we could say, well, I've known that person for 10, 20, 30 years. But then if you're asked to tell what you know about that person that you've known up to 30 years, it's kind of like what we know about Mr. Schwamp. Not much. We know them, but we really don't know them. That's why we encourage people to come earlier to services, stay a little longer after services to fellowship, get to know the brethren, get to know each other better, and let people get to know you better. Go out with the brethren to eat after services, come to potlucks, go to picnics, go to church activities to be around the brethren and help out at church services. Talk to people and listen to people. Let our light shine. Show ourselves to be friendly, as we heard earlier talking about Andy Taylor. But it seems every congregation has their Mr. Schwamp or Mrs. Schwamp or Miss Schwamps. They're there, but you usually don't notice that they're there. They're always in the background. Let's turn to James 1, verse 22. James 1, verse 22. This is a scripture we all need to read and heed, including the Mr. Schwamps of the congregation. James 1, verses 22 through 24. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. The Mr. Schwamps of the church are not doers. That's why it's so easy to forget who Mr. Schwamp is. Let's be doers, brethren. Let's do get to know each other better. The next person is actually a frequent visitor to the congregation of Mayberry. His name is Briscoe Darwin. head of the Darlin family, daughter Charlene, and four sons. How would you describe Briscoe Darlin? Well, he's from the mountains, so we could call him a mountain man. But let's let Mr. Darlin describe himself. And this is from, again, from the Andy Griffith Show book. Briscoe probably described the Darlins best when he said, "We're known as a family of hearty-eating men and beautiful, delicate women." He admitted the fact that they are extra-heavy snorers. Papa Darlin refers to himself as Briscoe Darlin, tiller of soil, feller of trees. And his main philosophy in life is, got time to breathe, got time for music. That's Briscoe's description of himself. Now, we could say that he's as country as they come, couldn't we? And he's proud of it, too. But deep down, he's a very likable man, and he was one of many who considered Andy a good friend. Briscoe was proud of the way he was. He was poor, uneducated, set in his ways, and his way of doing things was always the right way, in his mind at least. Briscoe is the type of man who would never let facts get in the way of his opinions. Have we ever known anyone like that? I think every one of us could probably say, oh yeah. Briscoe is the type of person he'd like to help, wouldn't he? First, let's turn to Proverbs 28, verse 25, because Briscoe is good at quoting mountain proverbs, which were nothing more than mountain superstitions. But here's a proverb that we all should remember, and this is a proverb from the Bible, of course. Proverbs 28, verse 25. Proverbs 28, verse 25. He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. When we look at the Darlins, we could say that they always seem to have a lot of strife in their lives, didn't they? Have we ever known people like that in the church? Always strife, something's happening, something bad. You have to ask yourselves why. Let me read from the Andy Griffith Show book again about Briscoe Darlin. This is Briscoe's idea of prosperity. We got a lot of pictures in here. I'm flipping. I say, oh, look at this picture. And I need to flip and not look at pictures. And the Darlins came down to Mayberry once looking for a boy to betroth to Andalina, but had no luck. This episode was just on a couple of weeks ago. That's kind of hard to imagine considering the dowry. They were really proud of the dowry that the lucky guy who married Andalina would get. But considering the dowry consisted of an 8x10 cottage, minus the roof, on the back 20, a cow, and 2 acres of side hill with good strong boulders. Last I heard, they didn't have anyone to marry Andalina, so, I mean, you have a single, let's see, yeah, you have a single son, yeah. I think he ran away. I don't think he wants to marry Andalina. But you know what, when you see the Darlins and all the troubles they get in, all their problems and how they live, you really want to help them in so many ways, don't you? You really do. But unfortunately, they won't change. Have you noticed them changing throughout the Andy Griffith Show? Any aspect? No. Now don't get me wrong, I'm not blaming them. Because they don't know any better. But you know, with God's Holy Spirit, we do know better. But sometimes, with some of the troubles that we get in, it's hard to believe that we do know better. And lack of money or lack of education has nothing to do with it. Because the Holy Spirit guides us to the true knowledge of the Bible. It leads us to the true riches of the kingdom of God. The Darwins don't have that benefit as we do, brethren. So let's set the example for them and for everyone. Set an example of what the Holy Spirit can do in our lives. A lesson we learned last week at Pentecost about the Holy Spirit. The next member of the congregation of Mayberry that we'll look at is school teacher Helen Crump. The first episode that she appears in was entitled Andy Discovers America. That's where Opie and his friends at school complain to Andy about Old Lady Crump. That's how they referred to Miss Crump. Old Lady Crump. They were upset because she was making them learn history, and they didn't think it was worth anything to learn history. They feel it's useless, in fact. And Andy kind of offhandedly agrees with them. Unfortunately, the next day at school, they all tell Miss Crump in class that Sheriff Taylor said they didn't have to learn history. In fact, I remember Miss Crump saying, "Are you sure that's what he said?" Yeah, he said that. And Miss Crump visits Andy, and she lets him have it. He didn't have a chance to respond in any way to Miss Crump. But of course, Andy makes things right in the end, and then that begins the start of a beautiful relationship between he and Miss Crump. And of course, eventually ended in their getting married. Now, Helen was a dedicated school teacher, kind of school teacher that you'd want your children to have, wouldn't it? She was a great school teacher, and she was well-liked by everyone. Opie and Aunt Bee were very fond of her, and she and Thelma Lou were best friends, and they often teamed up against Andy and Barney, and they always didn't play fair against them. Now, Helen had a temper, and Andy got to see it a lot. And Helen would pout to get her way. Have you ever noticed that about Helen? That she liked to pout, and she had that temper. The episode where Howard Sprague made his first appearance as county clerk was an example. Those of you who know who Howard is, he was a mama's boy. And his mother didn't want him going out on dates, although he looked about 40 years old at the time, I guess. I don't know. Well, Helen talked Andy, who was against it from the start, in arranging a double date with Howard and some other lady and them. Andy was against it. But they went on a double date. But all during the evening, Howard had to go and call his mother to see if she was all right, because she wasn't feeling too well when he left. And finally, it took her longer and longer to answer the phone, and then the last phone call, she wouldn't answer, and he had to leave. And of course, she just did that so he'd come home. Nothing wrong with her. The next day, Helen wanted Andy to talk to Howard's mother, and he refused. Said, "No, we're staying out of it. It's none of our business. No." And then he asked Helen, "You want to go to a movie tonight?" And she said, "No." "Would you like to go get something to eat?" She replied, "No." "Are we going out tomorrow night?" "No." "All right, I'll talk to Howard's mother." Of course, the way it ended, Howard's mother came on the dates with him. So you thought Helen learned a lesson there, but I don't think she did. But something for us to ask ourselves about this is, do we pout to get our way? Do we show our temper to get our way? Helen Crump was good at it. She's good at throwing little temper tantrums if things didn't go her way. And what we see her doing, it looks pretty childish. Sounds pretty childish, doesn't it? Could any of us ever be childish? Oh, us? I think we know we can be. Remember what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13:11. I put away childish things. Let's do the same, brethren. Now, we can't talk about the congregation of Mayberry without talking about most everyone's favorite member, Barney Fife. Good old Barney. Now, Barney has a lot of good points. He really does. He's always willing to help. He's eager and enthusiastic about it, too. He doesn't take half measures when he's going to do a job. He goes all out, 110% all the way. When it came right down to it, Barney was a good friend to everyone. Andy, Opie, and B, Gomer, Otis, Floyd, Goober, just about everyone. He was loyal. He was faithful to his friends. He was faithful to his job. And he was especially faithful to Mayberry. But then Barney, well, he's Barney. Let's turn back to Proverbs again. Proverbs 27, verse 6. And we'll read only the first part. And I believe this describes Barney, and I think Andy would agree too. Proverbs 27, verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. The Moffat says, wounds from a friend are honest. And I think we can all agree that Andy suffered his shares of wounds from Barney, didn't he? I think it'd be easy for most of us to say that it's very easy to find fault with Barney. And as we know, he does have his shortcomings. But so do we. We all have our shortcomings. And a big difference between you and I and Barney is that he laid out all his shortcomings for all of us to see on the Andy Griffith Show. Well, all of us try to hide our shortcomings, don't we? Would most people want to be compared with Barney Fife? Probably not. But we probably have more in common with Barney than we'd care to admit. Now, I don't want to pick on Barney, because I know we all consider him a good friend, and plus he is very sensitive, and we don't want to hurt his feelings. So I just want to point out one negative about Barney. One particular fault that he had, because unfortunately it's a fault that can be too common in all the congregations. Would we say that Barney Fife is a humble man? One time he thought he was going to receive an award from some organization, and turned out Otis was the descendant of the person, but Barney had in his mind that he was. He even prepared his acceptance speech. He tried it out on Andy. And probably less than a minute, he probably mentioned how humble he was 6 or 7 times. Here's Barney's idea of being humble. We read from the Andy Griffith Show book. This is a conversation between Barney and Andy. Barney, boy, I tell you, if I ever came home with anything less than A's, I just dare didn't come home. Andy, I don't remember you getting all A's, because they went through school together. Barney, I did that once, remember? Teacher made such a fuss about it that all the kids hated me. Andy, I don't remember. Barney, well, it's a fact. I didn't want them thinking I was some kind of snob or an egghead or something, so I buckled down and got bad marks. Andy, that must have taken real effort. Barney, you think you're kidding? Listen, an IQ can be a mixed blessing sometimes. Some people want it and can't get it. I got it and had to get rid of it. Life's funny that way, you know. That's Barney. And of course, Barney is Sheriff Andy Taylor's deputy. And Barney takes his job seriously. Again, let me read from the Andy Griffith Show book. Talking about Barney, he sums up his career by saying, "We're just plain simple men fighting organized crime with raw courage, strong, determined, rugged, fearless." And I love this episode. There's not many of the black and white episodes that I don't love. But. And his explanation for the low crime rate, talking about Barney and Mayberry, is quite simple. Well, I guess to sum it up, you could say there's three reasons why there's so little crime in Mayberry. There's Andy, and there's me, and patting his gun, baby makes three. That's Barney. Yes, Barney had a lot of pride. And he usually didn't listen to Andy when Andy tried to tell him that he was doing something wrong. Let's turn to Proverbs 29. We're here in Proverbs 29, verse 23, just a couple pages over. I think, as we know, Barney's pride, his lack of humility, got him in trouble at times. Too many times. And he would have been in worse trouble if Andy didn't bail him out time after time. Proverbs 29, verse 23. "A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor." Turn back to Proverbs 16, verse 18. I think we'll see that we need to get any pride out of our lives, brethren. Proverbs 16, verse 18. "How much better to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver." I read the wrong scripture. 16, verse 18. "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." And go back to Proverbs 14, verse 3. I think we could say that both Barney and Andy are described by this particular scripture. Proverbs 14, verse 3. "In the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve them." I think it's easy to see which one describes, which part describes Barney, which one part describes Andy. And where would Barney be without his good friend Andy? And again, a question for all of us is, would we have put up with Barney? With all the messes he put himself into? We probably wouldn't. Sometimes I'm always amazed. Sometimes I said, "Andy, we just let him get himself out of trouble." But of course, Andy wasn't like that. Andy was always there for Barney no matter what. Can we be such a friend to each other? To be there for one another no matter what? Another one of my favorite members of the congregation of Mayberry is Gomer Pyle. Was there ever a more friendlier, good-natured guy than Gomer? And Gomer would always say, "Hey" to everyone. I loved it when Gomer would come over to the Taylor's household and they'd all be sitting on the front porch. And he'd say "hey" to everyone on the front porch, of course. And then he would add, "Goober says hey." And then Andy would reply, "Hey to Goober." That's actually a routine with some of us over the years. Say, Margie says hey. Well, hey to Margie. Let's turn to Titus 3, verse 2. Titus 3, verse 2. I think this scripture describes Gomer. I think we would all do well to follow his example in this regard. Titus 3, verse 2. Keeping in mind Gomer Pyle. Keeping in mind ourselves. Titus 3, verse 2. "To speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men." I would say this describes Gomer Pyle. You know, Gomer was a good friend to everyone. And notice how that description is fitting all of the congregation of Mayberry so far. They were all good friends to one another. Lesson there by itself, isn't there? Talking about Gomer, remember when Andy put out that little grease fire at the filling station and Gomer just thought he just saved his life because Gomer was sleeping? And he insisted on doing all these things for Andy, and not only Andy, but Aunt Bee and Opie. Yes, he got on their nerves, but it just showed what type of person he was. What a good heart Gomer had. You know, Gomer saw the good in everyone. Even when he joined the Marines, he saw the good in his drill instructor, Sergeant Carter. Now, those of us who've gone through basic training in any of the military, we see the good in our drill instructors. Like, hard to do, but you know, Gomer did. You know what? If you continue to watch the Gomer Pyle show, or Gomer Pyle USMC, you saw that Sergeant Carter really had a good heart down there, down deep inside. So there are a lot of positive attributes that Gomer has. And hopefully we have those same traits. But now some of you are probably thinking, oh, but now he's given us the positive qualities of Gomer Pyle. Now he's going to tell us something negative about Gomer. So I wonder what he's going to say about Gomer that's negative that can apply to us here in Asheville. Well, as I've mentioned, I travel to several areas, my wife and I do. And since I'm up here observing everybody, I guarantee you that there are people in each of the congregations that I've gone to over the years who have this in common with Gomer. Let me relate some of the particular episode where Gomer did this. A visiting preacher, sort of like me, a visiting preacher here, was giving the sermon at their service. And his sermon was entitled, "What's Your Hurry?" Telling everyone they needed to slow down and enjoy life. Stop and smell the roses, so to speak. That was the episode where afterwards they all decided that they should have a band concert that night, and so they tried to get all the uniforms sewn, the band stand put together, practicing and everything. They just wore themselves out just so they could relax that night. But during the sermon, for those of you who remember that episode, do you remember what Gomer did? He went to sleep. Uh-oh, I'm hitting a nerve here, aren't I? Sleeping during services. Now, we've all probably slept at one time or another during a sermon. I have. I'll admit it. Fortunately, it's never been during one of my sermons. Down through the years, there have been a few sermons that I've slept through. Not the whole sermon, but I've had a hard time staying awake. I understand that. But Gomer even started snoring. I haven't done that, though. But Judy's laughing because in one of the congregations several years ago, Mr. Hastings was still here. And during his sermon, and he was by himself, started snoring, and everybody heard him. And finally, and actually Judy was the one, she got up and went back and kind of shook him. He was sitting towards the back, and no one would do anything, so she did, because it was embarrassing. I remember Mr. Hafley had this kind of smile on his face, thinking, okay. But anyway, so I have known someone who really was like Gomer, at least in that episode. If you remember during the service, Barney started falling asleep too. I guess sometimes it can be contagious. That was the episode where as they were leaving and saying goodbye to the visiting preacher, Barney thanked him for his sermon on sin. The joke being that the sermon wasn't about sin. But so, down through the years, there have been several of us have kidded about that. Ed has a great sermon. Oh, he's a good sermon on sin. Yeah, okay. So think of this way, for any of us, when we fall asleep during services, we do have something in common with Gomer Pyle. Let's go to another member of our congregation in Mayberry. Do you remember Ben Weaver, owner of Weaver's Department Store? And I'm talking about the original Ben Weaver. He was probably in his 80s when he was on the show. And it may have been just the first year of the show that he was on. You know, it's hard to tell. But he was on several episodes. Some of the adjectives we could use to describe old Ben are mean, grumpy, tightwad, ornery, miserable. That wouldn't describe anybody in our congregation, would it? I hope not. Not that I don't know that anyway. But old Ben had a rough exterior. But Andy was sometimes able to get under the surface with Ben. Wasn't easy, but at times he did it. And you know what he found? Deep down, he found that Ben really had a soft heart, that he really was a decent person. Remember the episode where Ben wanted Andy to serve foreclosure papers on a couple? And Ben wanted the property so he can foreclose so he can build a warehouse out there. And the people had just missed one payment. And so they had a little fundraiser at the courthouse, like a flea market, to raise money so they could pay that payment. But then old Ben refused to accept it, said, "The papers say I can demand the balance in full if they miss one payment." Everyone saw how mean and heartless Ben was being, except for Ben. So Andy finally came up with a plan to show Ben how mean and heartless he really was being. They said, "Let's go, Ben. I'll throw these people out." And he came in and said, get everything together. Get out right now." That was the episode where they wanted to take her mother's hutch, I guess it was, and it was attached to the wall, and they took out a screwdriver so he can unattach it. And he quoted, "Law says it's affixed to the real property, so now it becomes part of the real property. You can't take it." And Ben said, "I'll let him take it." I said, "No, Ben, we're going to do this right. They're not taking it." And he was throwing them out right there and then. And Ben saw what was happening. Because Andy told him, well, he was unemployed, so the county will put up the mother and the daughter, and he could put up some boards and build a little shack out in the woods or something. And Ben said, "I didn't realize it'd be like that." And so not only did Ben not foreclose, but he gave the husband a job at his store so he can continue to pay the mortgage. It took a while at times, but Ben could be a very giving person. Some of you remember the holiday show where they were celebrating at the courthouse, and Ben tried to get himself arrested just so he can participate in the festivities. He couldn't just come right out and go in there and participate. But he just didn't know how to go about it. And it took someone special like Andy. It took someone special like Ellie Walker to show Ben that people did care about him. And it was always a beautiful thing to see Ben Weaver let down his guard and let people into his life. We have our share of Ben Weavers in the church, don't we? Let's turn to James' letter, James 5. James 5, verse 9. The Ben Weavers in the church also maintain a rough exterior. They also keep people at arm's length from them. And they'll come across as being indifferent, grumpy at times, unapproachable, all the time wishing that they weren't like that, all the time wishing that they were able to be totally accepted as part of the fellowship, but they just don't know how to go about doing it. You know, Andy didn't give up on Ben Weaver. Ellie Walker didn't give up on Ben Weaver. Lesson for us is let's not give up on any of the Ben Weavers that we come across in the church. James 5, verse 9. "Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door." You know, when we grumble about the Ben Weavers in the church that we know, we're actually being like him, by our grumbling. So how do we deal with the Ben Weavers? Verse 10. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Yes, we need to be patient with the Ben Weavers in the church. And yes, when we come across the Ben Weavers in the church, we will suffer. Believe me, we will. You remember the episodes, Andy and Barney went through a lot of suffering because of Ben Weaver. But Andy's patience, his old Ben, went out in the end. Start a few pages to 1 John 3, verse 11. 1 John 3, verse 11. This is how we deal with the Ben Weavers in the church. However, the Ben Weavers will probably be embarrassed at this scripture. 1 John 3, verse 11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Earlier we read how we need to be patient. It's no coincidence that 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, reminds us that love is patient. Let's all remember that as we deal with one another. Let's look at one more member of the congregation at Mayberry. Let's take a quick look at Floyd Lawson. Of course, Floyd is the town barber. And his barber shop is the gathering place for the men of Mayberry. It's not hard not to like Floyd. In other words, it's easy to like Floyd, isn't it? In fact, everyone likes Floyd. I think I quoted that. I said, it's not hard. No, it's hard not to like Floyd. Can't help yourself but to like him. There's a nice picture of Floyd. Another one. Another one. If anyone epitomizes Mayberry's easygoing, carefree lifestyle, it has to be Floyd Lawson. None of Mayberry's folks is more endearing than the beloved barber. And he was. He really was. I have a little bit more to say about him right at the end. But you know, Mayberry is endearing to everyone. For those of you who are familiar with the Andy Griffith Show, you know everyone's always welcomed at Floyd's Barbershop, even if you don't need a haircut. Just come by and talk, play checkers, read the magazines. Come by for no other reason than to just visit. People do that a lot in Mayberry. Just visit. At Floyd's Barbershop, at the courthouse, on Andy's front porch. People like to just visit. But you know, just visiting is getting to be a lost art, isn't it? But thankfully, not in Mayberry. Wouldn't hurt if all of us were more like living in Mayberry when it came to just visiting. We said everyone liked Floyd. But you know, Floyd could be a bit scatterbrained at times, couldn't he? But then, he wouldn't be Floyd if he wasn't a bit scatterbrained. That's what made Floyd Floyd. That's part of what made Floyd Floyd. And everyone accepted Floyd for what he was. No strings attached. And that's what friendship is all about. As we look at the congregation of Mayberry, we see a lot of friends, don't we? Andy, Barney, and B, Otis, Opie, Sarah. By the way, you never saw Sarah in the episode, one of those people. Sarah and Juanita were never seen. They're always spoken about, but never seen. There were a lot of friends. Thelma Lou, Helen, Howard Sprague, Goober Gomer Floyd, and the list goes on. Because there are so many more friends in the congregation of Mayberry. Let's turn back to Romans. Romans 12, verse 15. Romans 12, verse 15. Over the years, as we look at all our friends in Mayberry, we've learned to laugh with them, cry with them, hope with them, live with them, and most of all, we've learned to love with them. Romans 12, verses 15 through 18. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. And you know what? That should describe our relationships with one another here in the congregation of Asheville. Shouldn't it? Now, when I think of the congregation of Mayberry, the word family soon comes to mind. Wouldn't it be something of all of us when we think of the congregation of Asheville? The word family soon comes to mind, too. No reason why it shouldn't. Now, the congregation of Mayberry is not a perfect congregation, as we've heard. Far from it, in fact. They have their faults. And they also have their share of disagreements with one another. But in a way, you could say that they follow the advice of Barney Fife. Now, Barney has a saying. He has a lot of saying, but to me, personally, this is my favorite saying of Barney Fife. To stop things from going too far, Barney would always say, and it's usually to Andy, you'd say, Ange, you got to nip it. Nip it in the bud. And that's what the congregation of Mayberry always did. That's why they always remain good friends, because before anything goes too far, they nip it. They nip it in the bud. They know about forgiveness and understanding. Let me conclude today by reading part of the foreword of the Andy Griffith Show book. Again, this came out in 1995, and the foreword in this edition of the book was written by Paul Harvey. Many of you will remember him. And I think he hits the nail right on the head about Mayberry. Since television ran away from home, it's been wandering, searching, trying to find its way back to Mayberry. These days, whatever I'm watching, I'm unfulfilled. I can close my eyes and smell the crayon in Miss Crump's classroom. I can smell the bay rum in Floyd's barbershop. But when I open my eyes, I see mostly mayhem. And as Charlene Darwin used to say, that makes me cry. From our weekly visits to Mayberry, we learned tolerance for Otis Campbell's weakness and for Aunt Bee's pickles. And we learned compassion from Opie's misused slingshot, and we are introduced to soft love at Myers Lake. Barney Fife, taking himself so very seriously, was a mirror reflection of most of us. Hits the nail right on the head, doesn't he? And Sheriff Andy Taylor understood. Mayberry, where are you now when we need you so? Might television ever find its way back to Mayberry? Is the image of a father and son hand in hand going fishing too trite, too provincial for contemporary palatability? Have you gone to the Andy Griffith Museum in Mount Airy? Out front's the statue of Andy and little Opie going fishing. It's an excellent place. It's a small place, but if you're an Andy Griffith Show fan, you can spend a couple hours in there going through all the episodes and all the memorabilia. Where was I? Okay. One might think so, except that episodes remain evergreen in reruns after 35 years. And again, this was written in 1995, so it's more than that now. After all these years, the bullet in Barney's pocket still invokes a smile. After all these years, we recall the tedious front porch deliberations between Andy and Barney over which flavor ice cream. City folks, intimidated, are seduced by drifters. Buddy Epson was a hobo who was helped to discover his own conscience in Mayberry. Remember the impatient city visitor with no time to spare who ended up in the porch swing-singing church in the Wildwood? Opie slept on the ironing board that night. Venture sleeping, he called in. That was, of course, Man in a Hurry, Malcolm Tucker. Today we laugh at one another. In Mayberry, we cared about one another. That was confirmed even in the way the writers wrote around Floyd's incapacity. If you'll notice in the show how Floyd aged considerably during the show, and that's because he didn't just suffer a stroke. He suffered a series of strokes throughout the remaining years. And when he really was bad off, if you'll notice, you never see him walking. He's either sitting in the barber chair or standing, leaning up against something. If Andy's in the courthouse, you'll hear the door open, footsteps, and then the next scene is there's Floyd sitting and saying, "Hi, Andy." You don't see Floyd walking because he couldn't walk. He was that ill. An observation which this professional people watcher, Paul Harvey, considers most impressive is that everybody for whom Mayberry was home might have been assumed by cynics to be play actors. Yet each in real life turned out real good, and B remained in character until death did us part. Whatever it was about that small town, Brigadoon appears to have been an indelible influence on those who lived there and on us who visited. Television owes us. And that accruing debt will be amortized, at least in part, if it keeps Mayberry alive against the day when behave yourself and love your neighbor come back into style. And let's remember, brethren, love your neighbor never goes out of style here in the congregation of Mayberry. Good Sabbath, brethren.